Welcome back to the Psalms, everyone. We're making our way up the 15 Songs of Ascents. And at Psalm 125, we've reached our second summit. And from this vantage point, we get a sense of how far we've come and how far God intends to take us. The first two verses set the tone. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. So the psalm opens with a breathtaking view and unshakable confidence. Standing atop this hill, we see in the distance our destination, Mount Zion. Depending on what direction we came from, several mountain peaks offer a view of Mount Zion, and the imagery of the first two verses takes us right there. Now, in the Bible, the name Zion carries a lot of meaning. First, it's a real location, a physical mountain peak very close to where Jerusalem is built. In Hebrew, the word Zion is similar to the word for castle or fortress. And thanks to an ideal topography for defense, the city of Jerusalem was often considered to be just that, an impenetrable fortress. Not only is it on a mountain, but it's surrounded by mountains. So back in Bible times, the long trek for the Israelites gathering for the feast would be accompanied by a growing sense of security. We are safe here. As we look across the valley and see our destination, the psalmist feels confidence. Mount Zion cannot be shaken. And even more than that, he feels a connection to it. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. Trust is the key word here. It is our trust in God that holds us fast to Him, our trust that steals our confidence and sets us firm, just like that mountain. And notice that phrase again, endures forever. The same phrase used to describe God's love, God's righteousness, and God's faithfulness. They endure. But now, something physical, a mountain that we can see, that endures. Sometimes we need that concrete object to help us attach the abstract concepts and make our faith solid. Just look at that mountain, unshakable. That's me when I trust in Him. Then take a look around. Zion is a mountain surrounded by mountains. So in verse 2, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people, both now and forevermore. So in that same fantastic topography that makes Jerusalem so well defended, so safe, the psalmist sees his own safety in the Lord. The Lord surrounds us on all sides. Interestingly, Zion is not the highest peak. Surrounding peaks stand taller as an effective defense. And watch the last words, both now and forevermore. That's twice in two verses that we've jumped to the eternal, which opens a challenging question. Is Mount Zion truly unshakable forever? Will those mountains surround and protect Jerusalem forevermore, as in eternally? That question brings us to a tricky but essential challenge in Bible interpretation. The Bible talks about Jerusalem as a real and physical place in this world, which of course it is to this day, and also Jerusalem as a promised eternal city where God will dwell with His people. Revelation 21 closes the whole Bible with a vision of the new Jerusalem. 2 Peter calls it the place where righteousness dwells. But the tricky part when reading the Bible is distinguishing between the current Jerusalem in this world and the promised Jerusalem in His eternal kingdom. In Galatians 4, Paul makes a clear distinction between the present city of Jerusalem, which he describes as in slavery, and the Jerusalem that is above, which is free. Two different places. And Paul was referring to first century Jerusalem. And we have the added complexity today of a modern and rebuilt Jerusalem with a whole new set of complex political and religious dynamics. Now, this psalm is not the place to fully untangle this topic, but it does provide a great viewpoint to see how the stories of these two Jerusalems overlap and how they separate. God made promises to David for a king in his line forever and a kingdom eternal. The capital city of that kingdom would be Jerusalem. And there were moments in Old Testament history where it felt like that would come together and happen in this world. Even as Jesus showed up in Jerusalem to shouts of Hosanna, so many in that crowd were convinced that this was it. God's king, God's kingdom. Now, here, Jerusalem. Yet it didn't happen, not how they wanted it to. And that Jerusalem was not the city where righteousness dwells. They killed the only righteous one. And Psalm 125 seems to have an awareness of that unrighteousness. Look at verse 3. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous. For then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Intriguing. Looking across the valley to the great city of promise, a conflict arises in the heart. This is God's city, but it's not always a godly city. In Bible times, it was often quite the contrary. Yet, the scepter of the wicked will not remain. That means that the wicked may rule here for a time, but they won't last. This land belongs to the Lord, and it was allotted to the righteous. And the psalmist's reasoning is simple. If the wicked rule, the righteous might use their hands to do evil. That's the tough reality of this world. When corruption takes over and the wicked rule, it can become nearly impossible to do right. Give to this good cause, and corruption steals it for bad. Help someone out with good intents, and it gets twisted to bad ends. The psalmist insists that this cannot be the eternal way of things. And that's precisely why the Bible separates the present Jerusalem from the eternal. Verse 4 reminds us of how it should be. Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Looking out over a city with all the complexity that humanity brings, where good and evil strive and struggle side by side, the psalmist asks God to make this simple distinction. Do good to those who are good. It's only right, but to those who corrupt it, who take the straight and narrow and bend it sideways, Lord, banish them. Corruption ruins a city from the inside out. Lord, separate them and send them away. Ultimately, the final line captures the heart of the request. Peace be on Israel. That is one large request, yet it is God's plan. So what do we get from this view? As we follow the upward call of Christ, we too will climb many heights, yet descend again to valleys of doubt and uncertainty. But a viewpoint like this gives us a moment to glimpse what's ahead and hold it. As it turns out, the physical Mount Zion is not unshakable. Revelation prophesies several massive earthquakes that will strike in the last days. And lo and behold, several fault lines run all around Jerusalem. And the physical Jerusalem is not impenetrable. Strategic as its topography may be, it has been conquered and destroyed twice, besieged 23 times, attacked 52 times, and captured and recaptured 44 times. And Jerusalem in this world is often not where righteousness dwells. That same day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem hailed as king, he stopped on the Mount of Olives, just across the Kidron Valley, with an amazing view of Mount Zion, and he wept over Jerusalem. If only they would listen. Hebrews 11 picks up this theme as it recounts the stories of Old Testament heroes of faith, those who left their cities, because they were looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Then Hebrews 12 reminds us that we have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Here on earth, he reminds us that everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. And listen close, for here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Read Psalm 125. Enjoy the view. Three more hills still to climb.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.